This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. Earlier this week, U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder announced a change in the sentencing policy for federal drug defendants, particularly nonviolent ones accused of low-level crimes, a shift away from mandatory minimum sentences and more toward alternative sentences, including things like house arrest or treatment programs. Earlier this week on this broadcast, we heard from Atlanta's top federal prosecutor, U.S. Attorney Sally Yates. For the defense side, our own WABE legal analyst, Paige Pate. He is a criminal defense attorney here in Atlanta. Paige, welcome back.
Good afternoon, Dennis.
It sounds as if everybody from prosecutors and the defense side as well seem pretty happy with the idea of changing the approach to get the prison's less crowded, to get incarcerating federal inmates to be a less expensive proposition. But are you concerned about anything, about what the attorney general said or about how prosecutors here in Atlanta will handle things?
Well, you're right that everyone is pretty excited about this. I think most defense lawyers remain cautiously optimistic about how well it's going to be implemented. It is way overdue. But the devil is always in the details. We wonder how this office and other offices around the country will implement what Attorney General Holder has suggested.
Shouldn't federal prosecutors, though, based on the differences between one district and another, shouldn't they have some discretion because conditions are going to be different in Atlanta as a major transportation hub? The kinds of drug trafficking are going to be different than they are in other places.
Absolutely. Prosecutors need discretion. Judges need discretion. And that's one reason we need to move away from mandatory minimum sentencing. But prosecutors shouldn't have unfettered discretion in cases like this. Just the day after Mr. Holder made his announcement, I was in federal court for a sentencing, and I heard a prosecutor who works for Ms. Yates making the argument to the judge that what appeared to be a fairly low-level drug offender was nonetheless tied to the cartel because he sold drugs that may have come from the cartel.
And you're talking about the Mexican drug cartels, which U.S. Attorney Yates has said make up a big part of the cases that we see here in Atlanta.
Exactly. And one of the groups that Mr. Holder does not want to benefit from this change in sentencing or charging policies. So the question becomes, how far down the line are we going to go? Because ultimately, most of the drugs that are sold in this country do originate from some part of some cartel. So again, the prosecutor is going to have to look at each and every case individually and try to make an assessment whether or not that individual has the connections to the cartel that would disqualify him from the benefit of this policy.
And what's wrong with that?
Well, nothing's wrong with that as long as they do it the right way and do it fairly. I think in this particular case that I saw, and it wasn't my case, I was in court for another matter, shows that right off the bat they may be taking the wrong approach because there was no evidence presented at that sentencing hearing or in that case to suggest that that individual defendant had any ties to the cartel.
Aren't the strict sentencing guidelines that we have had up until now in a way useful in going after the really bad guys, because the folks on the lower end, aren't they more likely to cooperate if they see a big mandatory minimum sentence hanging over their heads?
There's certainly some truth to that. But I think prosecutors can still use the leverage that they have and try to elicit from that person whatever cooperation they may be able to provide. But there's also a very perverse incentive to it. I mean, you end up getting people who don't have much information to provide and nonetheless are facing these very severe mandatory minimums, and they either get sentenced to those mandatory minimums or they make stuff up. And we've seen that happen in federal court often.
And yet, if we go back to when mandatory minimums were established, one of the things we heard at the time from defense attorneys was there's too much discrepancy in sentencing. And so we need some sort of consistency. So isn't the policy that everyone's happy to see changed actually the result of complaints from, among others, the defense side of the bar about wildly disparate sentences?
Well, the defense bar has certainly complained about those sentences for a long time, as have a lot of other people.
So isn't part of the unintended consequence here that we might go back to that?
I hope not. We still have uniformity in sentencing across the country based on the sentencing guidelines. Now, the judges aren't required to impose those guidelines any longer, and that's a good thing. There is some discretion. But starting out at the beginning of every sentencing hearing, the judge first determines that person's sentence under the federal sentencing guidelines. That's true here. It's true in California. It's true in New York. We all use the same guidelines. So I think there's still going to be uniformity in sentencing, at least to start out with. And then the judge can make different decisions based upon the unique individual who's in front of him or her.
Atlanta criminal defense attorney Paige Pate is WABE's legal analyst. Paige, always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Great to be with you.